Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, never a dull moment in this country, apparently. And it's been a pretty wild week with the Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court hearings up in the Senate. Those are wrapping up today. It'll take them a few other days of meetings, and then they will vote in the committee. And then the committee will most likely, that's almost a definite, will send it to the Senate floor, where most likely there's a lot of confidence out there in the Senate on the Republican side that it's going to be fine. I didn't think there were any major blows to Kavanaugh's nomination this week during the raucous, mostly 3 days. Today was just people bringing up statements. They had different guests come in. They had them all seated one right after the other. And people opposed and people in support of Kavanaugh. So I was listening to that earlier today. So a lot of things happened there during the week that I want to touch on, especially on the issue of abortion. So we'll spend some time talking about that. Of course, there's the Nike Colin Kaepernick thing, and I want to read something that Taya Kyle put on Facebook that her husband, of course, was Chris Kyle, who we all know from American Sniper and stuff like that, and she referenced Pat Tillman in terms of somebody that had actually sacrificed everything as opposed to Colin Kaepernick. So it's been interesting to kind of watch that go on this week. So I'll get through all of that, and then at the end of the show, in the last segment, I want to read something, an op-ed piece by Star Parker, who I've known for a while, great woman of God, happens to be an African-American, came out of poverty and a really broken home, just brilliant woman, and has had quite a career as an activist. But she had a great article, great op-ed in the Daily Signal. The title is, "There Was Never a Bipartisan Civil Era. There Has Always Been a Battle of Ideas in the U.S. It's an excellent piece. It's something that we all need to be reminded of. And if you think back that you think politics is bad now, I'm in my seventh year of teaching the Constitution and civics. We do two chapters on the road to the White House and then the White House itself, the executive branch. And politics has always been nasty. It seems to be nastier now just because of technology. But it's always been brutal. It's always been nasty, even going right back to the Federalist Papers and back and forth and what happened early on. And then the factions developed shortly after that. And it's been a nonstop war ever since. And that's just the reality of it. You want, if you want politics to be more civil, I mean, I do too, but I never expect it to be peaceful. I never expect it to be kind of calm. And I don't think it should be, because we're dealing with massive issues that affect millions and millions of people, including tens of millions of children in the womb. And so how can you possibly be calm or sedate when it comes to things like that? So that's Star Parker's op-ed, and I want to get to that in the last segment of the show. But let me start with something non-political. This is really cool. John and Andy Irwin, the filmmakers, have been friends of mine for years. I've been on this show many, many times. We did a lot of shows together before Woodlawn came out. And then we did a lot of shows together with I Can Only Imagine. I did a bunch of interviews at the premiere there in Nashville, Tennessee, early this year. And it just was amazing to watch what happened with the movie I Can Only Imagine. Of course, that's a song we all know. That was the story most people didn't. Bart Miller, the lead singer of Mercy Me. And so I don't recall ever seeing something like this happen before, that all of a sudden I Can Only Imagine has been nominated for a family movie of 2018 at the People's Choice Awards. That's pretty amazing. All the guys at Irwin Brothers Entertainment and most of the actors are pretty shocked by that. I don't recall ever seeing a Christian movie nominated for things like that, other than The Passion of the Christ that Mel Gibson put together, because that you can't mess with something that does $600 million worldwide, which is what Passion of the Christ did. And so I put it up on Facebook. I have the links on the Facebook page. So if you go to Facebook in the search box, if you don't like the program page on Facebook, once you get there, just hit the like button. We all know how that works now. But I put a link up there earlier. So you can click on the link, you can go there, and you can vote. So listen, most of us showed up. You showed up, most likely. I showed up, and we went and we supported this movie. And it blew the doors off. Did $80 million at the box office. Did incredibly well in DVD sales. You'll see it on Netflix and places like that pretty soon. And God is taking it around the world, which is incredible. But that's because you showed up and I showed up. And here's an opportunity again. How cool would that be? at any of these big awards programs, like the People's Choice Award, to actually see a Christian film made by born-again Christians with a great Christian message and a true story of redemption win at the People's Choice Awards. I mean, vote, vote, vote. Listen, if I were still living in Chicago, I'd vote twice, but I don't think that's an option. Maybe you can. I don't know. I went and voted yesterday. So please make sure you go to the Facebook page. You can look it up on your own. But if you go to my Facebook page, again, just go to Facebook in the search box, put Steve Noble Show, and you'll get right there. It's probably one of the most recent posts I did earlier today. Please follow that link and vote for I Can Only Imagine to be Best Family Movie of 2018. I think you have till September 14th, till the end of next week to vote. So please make sure you do that, and let's once again show up and try to push this thing over the top and send that message of redemption and the message of Jesus Christ right into the heart of the culture with something like the People's Choice Awards. Pretty cool. So I wanted to start off with that good news and pretty exciting thing there. So did you watch any of the Kavanaugh hearings this week? Started on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, which is when most of the fireworks were. Today kind of sedate as people just kind of gave their testimonies for and against. But it's been a wild week. You should have expected that because of the issue, a singular issue in this case of Roe versus Wade and abortion. So they came at him in every different way they could. You had, 73 people arrested at the end of the second day of the Supreme Court nominees hearings, and then 70 people arrested by the end of the first day. And then you had, did you notice, if you watch this, did you see all these women walking around who were dressed up in red capes and white bonnets? Did you catch that? Did you see them? Because there's the TV show that came out that was based on the book. I'm trying to remember the name of it. I had it here, and I caught some of it on TV just to see what in the world it was, which, of course, paints Christianity as a bunch of whack job, patriarchal, women abusing, taking advantage of women. You have no place in the world. You do exactly what we tell you to do. The Handmaid's Tale. So that's why they were walking around, because obviously if you put Judge Kavanaugh in the Supreme Court, women's reproductive freedom and women's health care might be damaged in perpetuity, to which I say amen. But to these people, this is the Holy Grail. This is the cross. This is the Savior. This is the God that they worship. And when you put that, you go anywhere near that God, you go after that little G God of abortion, Planned Parenthood, put it all in the same pot. And that God's followers, they're going to rise up. They have since 1973, and they certainly did this week. We'll talk some more about that, what's going to happen next with Kavanaugh. Then we'll dive into this whole Nike Colin Kaepernick thing. And we'll end up listening to this great piece by Star Parker about politics has never been civil. We'll be right back. Some introduction to a song as well. Keep it playing. I'm a horn guy. I like horns. All right, so got everything corrected on Facebook, and also if you join us on Facebook Live right now, you'll see the link to vote for I Can Only Imagine People's Choice Awards. That's over on September 14th, so you only have a week from today to get your vote in. And by the way, Evan, my assistant, my new intern here, Callan, went off to college about a week ago, and we pray for Callan. He's a great guy, and that's a big transition when you're going from just your hometown and in a homeschool community, although he's pretty savvy. He's definitely not a sheltered guy, and most homeschoolers aren't, which I know might be big news for some of you. But I'll go down that road another day. But pray for Callan. He's off at college, and Evan in here now learning the ropes and doing a great job. And so he just found out that you can vote as often as you'd like. Welcome to Chicago. I used to live there, so I have a master's degree in voting multiple times. Actually, make sure you tune in late October, early November this year, right before the midterm elections. When you tune in, you will hear yours truly, your friend. You'll hear me allegedly violate a federal law. Some people say you can't do that because your show, your radio ministry, is a 501c3, so you can't endorse candidates. Watch me. Oh, actually, you can watch me if you're on Facebook Live. You just have to listen to that. And I do that every time. And I've actually say, hey, tune in tomorrow and listen to me break a federal law. Because that's the Johnson Amendment, okay, if you don't know what I'm talking about. That's the whole Johnson Amendment. When he tried to shut some things down in Texas, that amendment was passed in the Senate in the middle of the night. And that allegedly this gag order on people in tax-free environments, charitable things, mostly the church, and that, hey, you're violating the federal law. You can't break the law. You got to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, except in this case, it's the specter of the law. The actual law itself has no teeth. That's why there's never been a major case. It's the specter of the law that's scared far too many pastors who should not bow the knee to Baal in that particular case. And so they forget it. I'm trying to lead my flock. And if you actually understand that law, it's definitely unconstitutional. And so like Alliance Defending Freedom for years now, probably 8-9 years, they do Pulpit Freedom Sunday in the spring. They have like over 3,000 pastors now will, in the spring, they'll take some candidates coming up and whatever elections are in front of them. And they'll compare the candidate's stances to a biblical standard. And they'll say, based on biblical standards, this candidate lines up the best and this one doesn't. What? And then they video it. And then, check this out. This is the way I love to play. Then they mail it to the IRS. Essentially going, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, come and get me. So I always say when I do it, and you'll hear me do it this election season for my friends here and where I live and in the state of North Carolina, which is how I, going back to Chicago and voting multiple times, which I'm encouraging you to do for, I can only imagine, the People's Choice Awards, then that's how I vote hundreds of times every 2 years here in Raleigh, North Carolina, because there's a lot of people in the area that know me as the Mr. Political Activist guy. And I actually put all my voting lists out before the election. And I've actually walked into the election center where I go and seen other people with my list. People are just sending me, and hey, Steve, do you have your list ready yet? Do you have your list? And so I'm like, hey, I'm honoring Chicago by voting as many times as I possibly can. Legally, of course, in this case, and with the People's Choice Awards, you can do that too. So back to the Kavanaugh hearings, which has been a circus all week. And some of my friends on Facebook Live are like, the Democrats embarrass themselves, which I totally agree with, especially I think Cory Booker really kind of bit the bullet on that one as he came out and said, I'm breaking the law. This is my Spartacus moment. They're like, hey, dude. All that stuff was made public at like 4 a.m., so you're not really doing that. But that, you know, grandstanding. But back to what I said at the end of the last segment. Abortion is such a huge Nebuchadnezzar-sized god that they will do anything. They have. That's why they're in hysterics about this. All these different things, immigration, all that kind of stuff. All the fights there are real, but nothing is as real for the left as the abortion issue. And they really think, they're really concerned that if the right case works its way up and Kavanaugh's sitting on the bench, which most likely he will, and you and I should both be praying for that, that because he said, there's some things in here that he said, hey, you know, most of the time this week, he's like, you know, we try to observe precedent. You observe precedent, stare decisis, what's happened in the past. You try to observe that and respect that. But the court and the country doesn't always get it right. And things change over time. By the way, science in 1973 isn't anywhere near what it is today. So in 1973, it was easy to believe as a little clump of cells and wasn't actually a human being yet. What it was before a human, nobody could answer. But it wasn't a human. Now the science is settled now. At the point of conception, you get a genetically distinct human being at its earliest form. And it's life. And it doesn't take long for you to get all those signs of life. And so the game has changed because technology has changed. Praise the Lord for that. But that's why they've just been absolutely going ballistic about it. And about 140 people arrested just in the first 2 days. So all that's been going on. The protest is going ballistic. Then there was the other people that were protesting. And this is, you shouldn't be surprised by this. So this was the Women's March. That's largely who was behind this. But also Planned Parenthood, because they were wearing their scarlet red capes and their white bonnets. And they had gray T-shirts emblazoned with I Am What's at Stake. And purple T-shirts that read reproductive freedom for all, i.e., a.k.a. child murder. And so Winnie Wong, the senior advisor to the Women's March, spoke to CNN on Wednesday and explained some of the strategy for the protests and activism at the Kavanaugh hearings. This is well-organized and scripted. This isn't chaos, Wong said outside the hearing rooms. It's exercising your constitutional rights, which is true. And you have a constitutional right to get, you know, arrested. So Planned Parenthood and their Planned Parenthood Action Fund also organized members from around the country, flying in storytellers from states as far away as Alaska and North Dakota. This was some other things there. So we were ready to go and hit the ground running to make sure that everyone understood what is at stake with this particular seat being the deciding seat for us. for so many things that people care about, from Roe versus Wade to environmental issues to campaign finance across the board. Of course, Roe v. Wade being the big kahuna there. For her part, Wong was arrested Monday along with Women's March co-founders Linda Sarsour and Bob Bland. By the way, if you've ever watched the Women's March, if you ever looked at some of the posters, looked at what people were saying, is that who you really want leading the country? Is that the kind of mindset, the kind of worldview you want? Go look at it. Now, if somebody watches your internet, if you have like Net Nanny or anything like that, Covenant Eyes, it's going to get flagged because it's just disgusting what these quote-unquote women, and I know I sound like a total sexist just saying that, women stand for. She recounted what she yelled from the back of the room. I said, for any senator who votes yes on the confirmation of Judge Kavanaugh, there will be a political price to pay. That to me is an explicit demand and a promise. Wong said that the Women's March had 300 people committed to actions, quote unquote, during the week, and about 140 of those, it would appear, have actually gotten arrested. Wong commented several times on the professional nature of their Women's March protesters. Professional nature. I wonder if she would call that the march themselves as they've occurred professional. Professional smut, perhaps. Additionally, the Red Cloaked Handmaids, a reference to the Margaret Atwood book and Hulu TV series The Handmaid's Tale, were back Wednesday in the Hart Senate Building atrium. Carla from Spring. Now, listen, this is where, again, I usually say this. When I start reading comments or learning stories about people that are obviously most likely lost, that my flesh goes in one direction and my spirit goes in the other. Carla from Silver Spring, Maryland, who did not share her last name, donned her red cape and white bonnet on Tuesday and Wednesday to protest Kavanaugh's nomination. So what did she say? And what did some of these other gals say? Am I going to get sued for calling them gals? I don't know. Not really worried about it. I'll share that with you. Some more things about Kavanaugh and his stand on abortion. Then we'll move on to the Nike thing when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, and my friend Jill on Facebook Live today is definitely, appears to be leading the pack. She thinks she's voted at least 24 times, for I can only imagine, which is totally legal. I don't think the Department of Justice is going to show up at your front door, and if they needed to show up at your front door, the condition of the Department of Justice right now, I don't know that they could actually find it. So let's go back to Carla. She was one of the gals, if I'm allowed to say that, at the Kavanaugh meeting this week. And she's from Silver Spring, Maryland. She dressed up like the Handmaid's Tale. She had the red cape on and everything and the white bonnet. Here's what she said. Now, this is, again, I was just saying before the break, whenever I'm going down this road and I'm reading the comments and stuff from people that really take on some pretty crazy positions, godless positions, anti-Christian positions, my flesh goes one direction usually and my spirit goes in another. Here's what she said. Brett Kavanaugh has a worrying track record for the health care for women, especially of women of color and poor women. Now, I wonder if Carla is including in her concern for women, women that are, you know, really, really young, like maybe women in the womb. She told CNN from the atrium, it's not just that. He represents a rising in fascism in America that we're worried about, especially that's been spearheaded by Donald Trump. Now, how has Donald Trump spearheaded fascism? You know, so you got the Antifa people who actually are fascists. So you got the Antifa people who are fascists. And then you have the white nationalists who are basically fascists. So you got a bunch of fascists beating up on a bunch of other fascists, where Trump really messed up is he didn't really come out in hard enough terms, really, during the election. And then once you had what happened in Charlottesville, and he said there's some good people on both sides. And I've heard all kinds of arguments about who he might be talking about. You don't go anywhere near that. When something like that happens, you say, listen, both sides, the Antifa people, the nationalists, the white nationalist people, they're all messed up. They're all kinds of evil going on there, and they're all messed up. They all need help. You don't say there's some good people. He brought that on himself. But it's just ridiculous. This is how she thinks, right? But go back to what she said. Health care for women, especially women of color and poor women. I wonder if she knows that about 33% of abortions since Roe versus Wade have been African-American women, African-American babies, who make up about 11% of the nation's population, African-American. So we're aborting African-Americans at three times the rate of their population. Three times the rate. In New York State, I believe, is where it is, where actually there's more black babies being murdered in abortion than there are being born. And she's worried about whom? One of the women who spoke to fellow protesters but declined to identify herself, dressed as a handmaid, shared that she had an abortion in the past and patted her visibly pregnant stomach as she spoke. All of a sudden, the child in her stomach has value. And she loves that child, and there's that connection, which I guarantee you was there with the one that she hired somebody to kill. I know it sounds harsh, but I'm just speaking the truth of what it is, okay? This, now listen to this. This is a direct quote. This is a pregnancy I'm carrying to term, empowerment, all right? Hey, all for you, ladies, you carry a baby, I'll never carry anything like that. I mean, God bless you. And that's because I'm in a good place right now. Now, and it's time for me to have the family that I planned a long, long time ago, years and years ago, that wouldn't have been possible without Planned Parenthood, actually, she said. So don't believe the lie that post-abortive women are just fine, because they aren't. Because they're made in the image of God. They have a conscience. God places eternity in the hearts of man, all men and women. There's no such thing as an atheist, Romans chapter 1. And so she knows what she did. But in order to try to justify it, she looks at it as a sound decision. But let me go back to her quote again. And who's at the center of her thinking here? This is a pregnancy I'm carrying to term. That's because I'm in a good place right now, and it's time for me to have the family that I planned a long, long time ago. I haven't even gotten to a period yet. Years and years ago, and that wouldn't have been possible without Planned Parenthood, actually, she said. And that, ladies and gentlemen, should enrage you on one hand. I get it. I'm with you. How messed up is that? How dark is that? How depraved is that? How lost is that thing? Although, I guarantee you there's women in the church that claim to be Christians, and some may be Christians that may think the same way. Because how do you, if you're going to try to escape the reality of what you did, don't you kind of have to go that direction? Unless you're going to face it, confess, repent, and find forgiveness, which you can. Praise the Lord, you can. But otherwise, they just got to completely change reality, really, to try to make it something that it isn't. But it is exactly what we've always said it is. So that's kind of difficult. Here's another attack on Kavanaugh. Just because this is so momentous, that's why I'm covering a lot of it. Leaked emails today. This is from thecut.com, very liberal website. Leaked emails today from Brett Kavanaugh's time in the Bush White House reveal what everyone already knew, that Trump's SCOTUS nominee will pose a threat to Roe versus Wade. See, going after that little guy. To get Maine Senator Susan Collins' vote, Kavanaugh called Roe versus Wade settled precedent, which it is right now. But according to an email he wrote in 2003, the court can always overrule its precedent. So they, look, he might be willing to overrule the precedent. Then, of course, that's just a little pull quote. So you got to get into that case a little bit more and to find out what the deal is. So one of the things they're talking about, the big thing they're talking about, and this was another one of those moments when my flesh battled with my spirit earlier today, because one of the people that testified before the Senate committee with Kavanaugh was a lady who represented, worked for the ACLU, and represented somebody that goes by the name Jane Doe. Not the same Roe versus Wade. This Jane Doe is a recent one. And Jane Doe had come into the country illegally, came in through Texas, found out that she was 8 weeks pregnant and wanted to have an abortion through the state of Texas. You know, how do you grant citizens' rights and privileges to somebody that's not a citizen? And so the Trump administration pushed back on that because they don't want to be investing in abortions, right? And so Jane Doe, she's 17, and this is state law in Texas, that you have to consult and find out, kind of right to know, information to know. And they did an ultrasound, which the lady who spoke earlier today at Kavanaugh's hearing said a non-medically necessary ultrasound. How convenient. Why would you avoid the ultrasound? Why is that so problematic for the ACLU and the pro-choice crowd? Well, you already know, right? You don't want to see what you're going to see on the ultrasound. You don't want to hear what you're going to hear on the ultrasound, which is this. The heartbeat. You don't want to hear it, and you definitely don't want to see it. And that's why they hate the ultrasound, which is why they hate crisis pregnancy centers. So that's the case that came up, and then Kavanaugh was involved in that on the Court of Appeals there in Washington. And so there were three judges on that court that were saying, listen, you got to at least have a waiting period. And so they were trying to enforce that. Of course, the clock's ticking on the pregnancy. And eventually it got overruled by a bigger group of judges on that court. So they were going, oh, you know, Kavanaugh, this is the guy who's going to fight abortion on demand, and you can't trust him. So that's where they went after him on that. But it was the really difficult thing in that whole story when you read it and you listen to the girls. She was really mad that they forced her to talk to somebody she didn't know about her pregnancy. Yet, she's going to lie down on a table surrounded by people she doesn't know, who you and I, through tax dollars, people in Texas most likely, paid the doctor, the attending physician, the attending murderer, and whoever else was in the room, people she didn't know, to kill the life inside of her. And that's just the 21st century. That's just where we are. And that's why you pray for those in authority over you, and that's why you share the gospel, and that's why you try to be salt and light. Because people are dying, and people are getting broken. And do you think this girl, the Jane Doe, it just ended that day? No. She'll know till she goes to her grave. Because she said, that's just between me and God. Okay, you can do whatever you want between you and God. But you're missing somebody in that conversation. You're missing the baby. What about the baby's rights? That's why they don't want to go anywhere near an ultrasound. So that, overall, most likely, the committee, because it's stacked with Republicans, it'll come out of the committee and it'll go to the Senate floor. What it looks like is that it'll get confirmed. It's tight, right? It's 51-49. So they can't, if they lose one of the Republicans, because there's two Republicans that aren't really Republicans, but there's a lot of Republicans that aren't really the Republicans that we think they should be, or that they told us they would be, especially on the issue of life. But it'll most likely come out, and he'll most likely get confirmed, and he'll be in there. And you're going to see a significant portion of this country absolutely melt down. But you know what? Pray for Jane Doe. Well, you know what? Let's do that right now. We do that too much. Oh, yeah, well, I'll pray for you. I'll pray. We'll pray, and then we forget. So let's do it right now. Father God, we don't know who this young lady is. You do. You knew her before she was formed in her own mother's womb. You know that child that was aborted, killed, before it was formed in its mother's womb. So, Lord, we pray for this Jane Doe. You know her by name. You know the hairs on her head. We pray, Lord, that you would minister to her in a special way. We pray, Lord, that her conscience would be pricked. If she says that that's between her and God, then perhaps she thinks she knows you. And I just pray, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, you'll, yes, deal with conviction, but bring her to her knees in a loving, compassionate way as much as possible. But bring her to her knees so she can confess and repent and find healing and wholeness. And pray that you bring other Christians around her that could help her walk out of this, Lord, to find healing and to find hope. In Jesus' name, amen. So what are we waiting for? A message in the sky. All right, just do it. Sacrifice everything. Just do it. Did you burn your shoes yet? Did you throw them out? By the way, to my friends in the mothership, when you can let the music go a little longer. You don't have to cut out that quick. Because I'm a music person. I love music. And so I just let it kind of fade on out. You can take your time there. Don't cut it too quick. So I would rather hear it. And it kind of helps me get back into the mode when I come out of a commercial break. There you go, Jasper. Just a little shout out there on the radio. Thanks for helping. Nike hit with more bad news. So they've gotten absolutely hammered in this Kaepernick thing. The sacrifice ad, right? Have you seen it? And now there's so many funny memes. We live in the meme world. Does meme actually mean something? Meme, M-E. Look that up. See if the word meme means something. So there's a picture and then there's content on it, right? Some kind of copy, some kind of little limerick or a little saying, whatever. And they're usually very funny. So there's all kinds of memes out there now. Because the Colin Kaepernick thing, black and white, that's Nike signs him up. He's like their guy, right? Like the old Michael Jordan, everything that had Michael Jordan on. Now it's going to be Colin Kaepernick. And the quote on his pictures, black and white picture, looks kind of intense. Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. So, of course, most people, a lot of people don't like Colin Kaepernick. They don't like the take a knee thing. But then when you know somebody that's played in the NFL has been a very successful athlete for the most part, I mean, he got there. And saying he sacrificed everything. Really? What have you sacrificed? We'll get into that. Taya Kyle, Chris Kyle's wife, wrote a great thing on Facebook. I'll share that in a minute. I actually sent her a note. I'm going to try to get her on the show. But I'll let you know. According to a new report from Morning Consult, Nike suffered a 34-point drop in favorability overall, including dips in nearly every demographic since announcing the Kaepernick ad campaign. Here's the key takeaways from a report, which was comprised of findings from over 8,000 interviews among adult Americans. Nike's favorability drops by double digits. Before the announcement, it had a plus 69 favorable impression. Now it's down to plus 35. No boost among key demos. Among younger generations, Nike users, African Americans, and other key demographics, Nike's favorability declined rather than improved, which was probably the gamble they were willing to take. That, hey, maybe our core constituency, they're going to dig that. And the people that hate us don't buy Nikes anyway. Well, the market's showing them something different. Purchasing consideration also down before the announcement. 49% of Americans said they were absolutely certain or very likely to buy Nike products. That figure is down to 39%. The effect of the NFL seems small for now. 40% of consumers said Nike's campaign does not make them more or less likely to watch, attend NFL games. Because this is about Nike, really. It's not about the NFL. 21% said more likely. 26% said less likely. So, again, that's the photo of Kaepernick. Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. Here's what he said. I'm not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color, declared Kaepernick in 2016. And again, every time I read something like that, I'm like, what about all the babies of color? And I also pose this just for a little mental exercise for you. Think about this. If NFL players started taking a knee and saying, because we've allowed the murder of 60 million unborn children in the United States, I am not going to stand for that flag. I respect our soldiers. I respect their sacrifices. But despite their sacrifices and their cries of freedom from the killing fields, we're still killing babies in America. So until we stop killing babies in America, I'm going to kneel. Now you're forced to choose between your patriotism, which you should have, and what would be a very aggressive pro-life move. And would your position change on that? An interesting thought exercise that I put out there for you. As reported by the Daily Wire on Tuesday, Nike's shares initially dropped by nearly 4%, which doesn't sound like a big deal, but that cost them $3.75 billion in market cap. The value of their stock overall came down $3.75 million. So somebody, Archie said something funny on Facebook Live. Nike going to start making kneeling shoes, right, that fit on your knees when you kneel. I don't think it's going to make a difference. Chris Kyle's wife on Facebook. Nike, I love your gear, but you exhaust my spirit on this one. Your new ad with Colin Kaepernick, I get the message, but that sacrificing everything thing, it just doesn't play out here. Sacrificing what exactly? A career? I've done that both times. I chose to stay home and be with my kids instead of continuing my business climb. And it wasn't sacrificing everything. It was sacrificing one career and some money, and it was because of what I believe in and, more importantly, who I believe in. At best, that is all Colin sacrificed. Some money, and it's debatable if he really lost his career over it. Maybe he sacrificed the respect of some people while he gained the respect of others. Or maybe he used one career to springboard himself into a different career when the first was waning. I don't know. What I do know is he gained popularity in magazine covers he likely wouldn't have gotten without getting on his knees or, as you say, believing in something. I'm also thinking the irony of that while I am not privy to the numbers, it's likely he gained a lucrative Nike contract, right? He's not doing it for free, and they're not asking him to do it for free. I guarantee he's making big money. So, yeah, that whole sacrificing everything is insulting to those who really have sacrificed everything. You want to talk about someone in the NFL sacrificing everything? Pat Tillman, NFL starting, not benched, player who left to join the Army and died for it. That's a sacrifice everything. That's what sacrificing everything for something you believe in. That's what it is. How about other Warriors? Warriors who will not be on magazine covers, who will not get lucrative contracts and millions of followers from their actions, and who have truly sacrificed everything. They did it because they believed in something. Take it from me when I say they sacrificed everything. They also sacrificed the lives of their loved ones who will never be the same. That is sacrificing everything for something they believe in. Did you get us talking? Yeah, you did. But your brand recognition was strong enough. Did you teach the next generation of consumers about true grit? Not that I can see. Taking a stand, or rather a knee, against the flag, which has covered the caskets of so many who actually did sacrifice everything for something they believe in, that we all believe in? Well, the irony of your ad, it almost leaves me speechless. Were you trying to be insulting? This is Taya Kyle, Chris Kyle's wife. He was the American Sniper. Maybe you are banking on the fact that we won't take the time to see your lack of judgment in using words that just don't fit. Maybe you're also banking on us not seeing Nike as kneeling before the flag. Or maybe you want us to see you exactly that way. I don't know. All I know is I was actually in the market for some new kicks, and at least for now, I've never been more grateful for Under Armour. Taya Kyle, Chris Kyle's wife. Well said. Very good. That's on her Facebook page. So I'll grab that link and throw it up on my Facebook page too. But very well said. From one woman's excellent words to another. And this is a great reminder for all of us. I know one of the words that I have posted on my computer screen in here is the word civility. The other word is wisdom. The only other post-it note on my screen is the word dose and 66866. So if you want to get in on our daily weekday study of the book of Proverbs, we're in that right now. That's the Daily Dose devotional that I write. We just started in chapter 6. We're getting ready to talk about the things that God hates. That was just a little intro today, and then we'll start that list of 7 things that God hates. We'll start that on Monday. But all you need to do with your smartphone is text the word DOSE, D-O-S-E, to 66866, and you'll jump on that list. You'll get the email each weekday morning. Text the word DOSE to 66866. Okay, there was never a bipartisan civil era. There has always been a battle of ideas in the U.S. Star Parker, great activist, great woman of God. The passing of Senator John McCain was marked by a sea of eulogies mourning the end of an era of civility and compromise. What has happened, they asked, to those noble bipartisan days of yesteryear, and how have we descended into today's crude and primitive tribalism? I read this stuff, and I wonder where I was during those wonderfully tranquil civil days gone by. Maybe because I'm black, I see American history through a different lens. The truth is, I read it in our history, and as I have experienced it in my life, is that America has always been a battlefield of ideas and interests. What's unique about our great country is not the absence of conflict, but rather that it occurs openly and honestly, and that we survive it, time and again, with our national institutions intact. So it's not confrontation that bothers me, it's dishonesty. And I see a lot of the latter in what I've been reading regarding the alleged era of civility that has come to a close with the passing of McCain. One of the hymns played at McCain's memorial services at the National Cathedral was the Battle Hymn of the Republic. It was reported to be one of McCain's favorites. The Battle Hymn of the Republic was, of course, a hymn, a march of the Civil War, during which some 750,000 Americans lost their lives. It was a war no one wanted. In Abraham Lincoln's words, both parties deprecated war, but one of them would make war rather than let the nation survive. The other would accept war rather than let it perish, and the war came. The disagreement on core principles was too great, and the war came. Lincoln himself was gunned down in the end. The last line of the last speech given by Martin Luther King Jr. the night before his assassination in Memphis, Tennessee, was from the Battle Hymn of the Republic, interestingly enough. "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." America is a battlefield because America is about truth, and truth is something we only won in struggle. Let's take a look at how our nation has changed since McCain's plane was shot down in Vietnam in 1967. In 1967, abortion was still illegal in America. Since abortion on demand became legal through Roe v. Wade in 1973, more than 60 million of our babies have been destroyed. In 1967, 10% of our babies were born to unwed mothers. Today, it's more than 40%. In 1967, about 8% of white adults over the age of 25 and 9% of black adults of the age of 25 had never been married. By 2012, 16% of white adults and 36% of black adults had never been married. In 1967, no one would have dreamed that America, the sacred and holy institution of marriage, could be anything other than the bond between one man and one woman. In the 1960s, that marked the beginning of the moral decline of our nation and the flowering of the civil rights movement. One pushed moral ambiguity, the other pushed for moral clarity. The stretch from the 1960s to today, during which McCain served in Washington, was about struggle. What might be taken as a time of bipartisanship and compromise was instead more about morality and politics. The real crisis we face today, President Ronald Reagan said in his famous speech to the National Association of Evangelicals in 1983, is a spiritual one. At root, it is a test of moral will and faith. This is our struggle. Let's be honest and unapologetic about it. So that's Star Parker. I'll share that link on Facebook. But she's absolutely right. Absolutely right. There's never been this like bipartisan, peaceful, civil period in American history. Our nation started with a war, and there's still a war. The culture war is still alive because the battle for truth, which started in the garden, will continue until Jesus comes back and settles it once and for all. You are in a battle. You are in a war over truth. Ultimately, and most importantly, we're in a battle over the souls of men and women. As C.S. Lewis once said, you've never met a mere mortal. Every single person you'll ever meet is either an everlasting splendor or an eternal horror. And the difference there is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is also a battle. Onward, Christian soldiers, seems to ring a bell. It is what it is. Embrace it. Fight in it. But fight with love and truth and compassion and patience as well. This is Steve Noble. Have a great weekend, God willing. I'll talk to you again real soon.